Welcome back to the Man Catholic Podcast. I'm Steve Priest.
I'm Tom Swartz.
And I'm Brock Martin.
Today we're talking about sex and drugs in St. Louis. This time.
Ooh. What?
Question mark.
Yeah, that question mark. This is a post-Seek 24 recap episode. But in reality, the idea to call this Sex and Drugs in St. Louis comes from Monsignor Shea's keynote talk on day two of Seek. When he asked the audience, all 20,000 plus of them, did you flush your drugs down the toilet before getting on the bus to St. Louis? Did you have sex with your girlfriend just last night? Quote. And again, this is day two, inferring that some of the students had sex with their girlfriend while at Seek. And I actually loved that he went there, because we know that that happens. That's actually a reality, which I think is cool, because that means we're not just taking the cream of the crop, the holy roller Catholics, and inviting them to Seek. We're actually inviting everyone to Seek. We're going to the highways and the byways. And his talk was the only talk at Seek, guys, that got a standing ovation from the entire crowd.
In history, right?
As I said, it's the only one I could remember.
I think Father Mike Schmitz got one once. I think Father Mike Schmitz.
The hour that'll change your life.
Yeah,
very rare, regardless, that ever happens.
Yeah. I mean, crazy. And it wasn't just a standing ovation. It was like a roaring applause, like hooting and hollering, standing ovation. It was crazy.
You know what's crazy? He stood in place and hardly ever moved.
Yeah.
The whole
Center stage.
20 minutes. Mm-hmm. He's a freak. He's awesome.
If you haven't seen the talk, go to seekreplay.com. You can make a free account. Yeah. It just takes your email. Totally worth the 30 minutes to listen to.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And for a little bit of context, I mean, the keynote talks at Seek, they kind of follow a pattern. Like we want to present the gospel over the course of 5 days. And so the first day you're talking about relationship with God. This is what we were made for.
Yep.
The second day, which is the day that Monsignor Shea spoke on, was rebellion. Mm-hmm. And we realize what actually happened when we sinned, and what role and effect does sin have in our lives today.
Yep. And the way we turn away from that relationship, right? Like our own personal rebellion, which is what he went after.
Yeah. Totally. And I just think it was the most eloquent and amazing explanation of the reality of really the horror of what sin is and what it has done to our relationship and its effect on us. But he concluded with, you know, that
comfort and joy.
Well, yeah, because he didn't ask those questions that you referred to, Steve, to condemn people.
Totally.
But to bring us into that reality that we live in a dark world.
Reality.
And one of the beautiful things that he also said that I've heard a couple priests comment was he said, so he's a president of a university, University of Mary, and a lot of people will ask him, what is the cause of young people's kind of despair, their growing anxieties in our culture? And he's like, a lot of times I'll answer with social media use and some various things. And he said, but what if it's simply the right response for young people growing up in a godless age?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's like a profound and the right type of a question that I have, because I want to come up with the social media, the pornography, addiction, all these stuff, and not stop and think, well, that's actually probably, again, the correct response, because there is such a void of the true meaning of life in our culture, which is Christ. And so what do you expect?
Yeah.
If you flushed your drugs, if you had sex, but let's reflect on why that's not what will bring you glad tidings of comfort and joy.
One more quick step back. If you are a first time listener or new to Seek, Seek is a 5-day conference sponsored by Focus. You can find it at seek.focus.org. And we just got back from a 5-day week in St. Louis that we hosted Seek. It's the first week of January, usually. And we had, at one night, 24,000 people in the old St. Louis Rams Stadium.
It was awesome.
It was crazy. During the day, there's all sorts of talks, men's and women's talks, breakout sessions. You can kind of pick what you go to. There's really hands-on training for how to lead a Bible study, how to give your testimony, which I know Brock and Lifelong Mission was very involved in. It's really a transformative week, but also a practical week to help anyone at any level in their faith or life learn how to evangelize, learn how to grow in their faith and share their faith. So if you're interested, registration's already open for Salt Lake City next year. Same dates, January 1st through the 5th. Go to seek.focus.org, and that's going to be an incredible
conference.
We're going
to shock the Mormons.
Well, and we're going to cap out at 20,000. It only fits 20,000. So,
what?
Yeah.
It'll
so,
be
I mean,
smaller next
yeah,
year.
It'll be, we're going to have two locations.
I better register too.
But yeah, we seriously, if you've never been, this is,
get on it.
This is like the
Do
one
you know
Catholic
what the venue
conference.
Is there?
It's the convention center out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a great center. So seek.focus.org, go check it out. You can register now, $25 down to hold your spot. That's what we just got back from. We kind of want to go around today and just share glory stories and maybe the different things that we did throughout this week. It was a crazy week, and we were busy. Me and Catholic Podcast had a live podcast there as well.
Yeah, we got to record with Father Mike. We did an episode with him, a couple episodes with him about a year and a half ago, and it was really fun to reconnect with him and do a live episode. It was super fun too. Thomas, you're a little active on social media, not crazy active, but Steve and I were kind of non-existent on social media.
I am very non-active.
But I was blown away by some of the social response to not just the Man Catholic episode with Father Mike, but really in the church at large. Like, there was a lot of articles circulating in Catholic news,
tons of Sikh
circuits. This was the first time. And again, I've been to a lot of Sikh conferences. The only one I've ever missed was in 2019 when my now 5-year-old she was born a week after. And so we missed that one.
So you could have been there is what you're saying.
Could have, but yeah. It would have maybe caused some marital strife. But this was the first time, though, that I really, you're always overwhelmed by the sense of hope and joy and energy. And it's like, wow, something, God is doing something amazing. That experience has always been the case at every C conference I've been to. This was the first time where I was like, holy cow, this is affecting the church in America. And not just the church in America, the church in the world. Yeah. I mean, there were hundreds of students from Europe, from Ireland, from Austria, from Germany. The Cardinal of Cologne was there, Cardinal Velke.
Cardinal Dolan from New York.
Cardinal Velke is hosting Sikh in Cologne next year. If you don't follow church politics.
That was in Salt Lake.
There's actually three locations. The main location, Salt Lake City. We're going to have an Easter location in Washington, D.C. And then a third international conference for obviously all of our international students, mostly Europe in Cologne, Germany. Sorry about Thomas's derail.
That was a good clarification because the main Sikh will be in Salt Lake City.
Yes.
Cardinal Velke is hosting a European Sikh in Cologne, Germany next year. And for those of you who don't know or don't follow church politics, the church in Germany is a dumpster fire. There's a lot of messed up.
It might be schism officially.
And, Cardinal Velke is a faithful shepherd out
there. There's a few really amazing.
He's getting persecuted from a lot of different angles. And the German missionaries from Focus who accompanied him to Sikh in St. Louis this year, when Cardinal Velke walked into the auditorium, they said he started to weep. And he said he's been praying for 30 years. He had never before.
So we had Cardinal Mueller.
Yep.
From Germany.
From Germany.
Mm-hmm. Who's awesome. Okay. That's fascinating.
So anyways, this was the first conference that I was like, holy cow, this is having a worldwide impact.
Okay. So 44 bishops.
Yeah.
No, go back to some 44 bishops, over 600 priests. This is to your point.
Yep. Yes.
200 or 300 seminarians.
Yeah. 400 seminarians.
And over 6,000 confessions. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think what you're stating is true when you look at some of these data points, right? Not just because people are talking about it on social media, but because of what actually happened those 5 days.
Yeah.
So going back to Brock, the kind of impact in the news, for the first time ever, Focus held a live press conference at Sikh. And I got to interview Dr. Edward Sree, who's a founding member of Focus, Father Mark Schmitz, and Emily Wilson. And there was probably a dozen different news outlets there. And I had a bunch of questions that the company, I don't even know who it was, gave me to pre-ask them. But then we got to take questions from these news outlets. And it was really, really fun. That day, I saw articles hitting social media written by the members that were in that press conference. But you're right, Brock. This was hitting kind of all corners of the earth, especially in the Catholic world. And that's powerful. But what you mentioned, Thomas, there were 6,000 confessions. That's bringing it straight back down to the individual.
Yep.
And that's what I love about this conference. It's huge. People come from all over the world. People are hearing about it all over the world as it's happening. But at the same time, all the way down to the individual, their life is being transformed right in front of our eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got the opportunity to sit on a panel for the bishops' experience. So the 44 bishops that came through Sikh, they had some various events and different things for just them. And one of them was a panel for a couple leaders in Focus to sit on for them to kind of pepper some questions. And a lot of the questions were kind of geared towards the magnitude of what is happening and, you know, what's happening on campus, what's happening in the parish. And somebody on the panel, it wasn't me, I wish it was, because it was an unbelievable answer, kind of spoke to exactly what you're saying, Steve. She said, the reality is that you're seeing the fruit of 24,000 people in an auditorium, but 24,000 people in an auditorium doesn't happen because of slick marketing or catchy slogans or really great speakers. There's 24,000 people in the auditorium because of one person reaching out to one other person and starting a small group with four or five other people. And when that starts to happen all over the place, you get 24,000 people in an auditorium. Yep. And I just think that there's so much wisdom there that, yeah, the numbers are great. The attention, the spotlight, all that stuff is really cool. But at the end of the day, all of this only matters because individuals are coming to know Jesus and they are being equipped and inspired to share him with others. Not from a stage.
Through authentic relationships.
Yeah, through a friendship in their living room, in the things that they care about.
Chris Stefanik said it on the last day in his keynote. He said, the pinnacle of focus is not in this dome with 24,000. The pinnacle of focus is next week with four friends in a Bible study. And I repeated it when I came back on stage because I couldn't agree more that those 5 days and that worldwide impact was crazy. It was so cool to be a part of. But when the rubber hits the road, it gets down to what you just said, the one-on-one, human-to-human, friend-to-friend interaction with an encounter to Jesus Christ. And that happens in Bible studies and discipleship around the country, around the world right now. That's where lives are really being changed.
We had a lounge area set up for the student athletes. And
it was a sick lounge area. I walked by it a couple times.
Play a little ping pong.
I never got invited.
That was on purpose.
I played rugby in college.
So I'm sitting in the lounge with my kids during one of the mornings because my kids didn't get up in time to make it to mass. So we just went and let them play a little bit. And Father Mark from EWTN's Life on the Rock walks in. And so I start joking with him. And I'm like, yeah, I've been on your show last time. Last time you were at Seek, I've been on your show. And he's like, do you want to come on again? I was like, sure. He's like, how about an hour? I was like, okay. Do you want me to bring some athletes on? And he's like, yeah, that'd be great. So to what you guys are saying, this is my point. There is a young lady who plays Division I volleyball for one of the top programs in the nation. Last year, she came to Seek 23 as a Protestant, was convicted at Seek that she has to become Catholic, became Catholic at Easter, was back at Seek again.
No way.
And so
I saw her testimony online. Didn't it go around?
Yeah, it was a story. She spoke at a high school.
Yeah, high school. Yeah, I saw that.
So I grab her and we go and with another athlete and do a couple segments with them. But to your point, like that's probably not the most dramatic story of these individual stories that happened in Seek. It's just one that I happen to know and met this girl and was able to see the fruit of this last year in her life. And the ripple she's having in her community too. And yeah, so that's a special moment because I was able to actually go meet her and say, I saw this article that Steve's referencing when she spoke at a high school, and that went just viral in my Facebook feed and stuff, and just able to thank her for her boldness in proclaiming what God is doing in her life, her faithfulness, her conversion, all that stuff, and for being back. And they were host campus, so she was serving the whole event the whole time. And so super cool. Yeah. And there's so many amazing, profound stories that are happening and have happened and will happen as the weeks roll on to Chris Stefanik's point of this next week, these next couple
right
of weeks.
Right now. Yeah. Right now is when these students have to face the reality of what they experienced and if they're going to let that actually transform their life and their habits and their day to day and their relationships and everything. And so we ought to seriously pray for those because the devil's going at them like crazy right now, I'm sure. I get to work with a lot of the benefactors, supporters of Focus, and we had, I mean, it must have been thousands of them, at least over 1,000. I don't know if we got to 2,000 of them, but we had them every night for kind of this mini conference that they got, you know, a special speaker, a keynote over dinner each night. And to see them walk away convicted of their own need to go out and do evangelization and outreach to start a small group, though they feel the least equipped, which is funny because they're some of the most successful people in the country. And they're like, I don't know how to do this. And it's like, you've literally built businesses from scratch. Like, you can do this. But they walked away just on fire, not for Focus, but convicted for the church. Another line that I loved, Father Zarate said it in his keynote. He said, you know, it's funny because everyone comes in and looks at Seek and sees the 11, 12,000 of the 20,000 young people who are college students there, and they say, oh, this is the future of the church. Man. And he said, no, this is the church. They are the church.
Nice. Yep. Nice.
And I love that because it just shows that we don't have to wait to become a certain age to now be the church, to now be active, to now be involved and engaged in not only living but sharing our faith. I don't care what age you are. When you have that encounter and the Lord calls you, you're the church, and you're not just the future of the church, you are the church. I loved that line.
No, and to jump off that, I get to serve on, as Steve said, the lifelong mission team. And at Seek this year, there were over 2,000 adults. So just regular parishioners who decided to come. And of those 2,000, 1,000 of them raised their hand and said, hey, I actually want to get trained on some of this stuff. And I can't tell you how joyful it is to walk with some of these people, many of whom have been, you know, they're on the parish staff or they're an employee at the chancery office at the diocese. And guys, the people who work in parish life or in diocesan life are some of the least thanked people in the church. And they do some of the least gratifying, least flashy kind of behind the scenes. They're like the offensive tackles of the church. Like, they're just doing the dirty work. And unlike offensive tackles in the NFL, they're not paid very well. And so they don't even get compensated for some of these things. And I just thought Father Mike Schmitz on night three, he talked about the difference between the older son and the younger son in the parable of the prodigal son, and how the younger son, he needed to be healed because he had broken something and you know, had gone away and squandered his possessions. But the older son who never left, he needed to be held because he hadn't had that experience of the father really just, you know, he hasn't had the experience of the father just loving him in his experience, not because the father's not there, but because of the crap that we put up in our lives. And, and I think it was such a beautiful experience to watch many of these just regular folks in the parish, or some, you know, some of them are employees of the church or of the diocese, for them to have the experience of, hey, not only do we see you, we hear you, we love you, we thank you, but here's an opportunity for the father just to hold you and to just love you. And to recognize that we're all playing a role, and when the church wakes up and realizes that evangelization is part of our identity, it's actually our deepest identity.
Yeah,
stuff is going to get crazy.
Let's go.
Yeah. Like, it is so exciting.
Yep. And he was right before adoration confession, and so I love the practical aspect of that. That to be healed, we need to meet our Lord in the confessional, and to be held, we need to meet our Lord in the Eucharist, in adoration or receiving Him. And so it's a beautiful way to explain that relationship, but we in the Catholic Church have very practical ways to actually engage in that. And that was the night that 6,000 people went to confession, and there were 24,000 people in a football stadium in adoration together. And
I think one of the cool things that you guys are talking is, and for the guys that are listening, is that this isn't necessarily a boast of Focus and Seek, but this is a rejoicing in the grace of God and what the work of the church is doing, right? Because there's so much garbage that's happening in the church and different fighting and infighting. And you all know probably the scandals that have broke out over the last few decades and stuff. But gosh, what an amazing thing to see people come alive. And, you know, God has used Focus and used this event. But like Steve, you said, this isn't about, with your benefactor's comment, this isn't about, they're excited about Focus. They're excited to be missionary disciples, right? And so I think it's just, praise God that people are responding, and that in the church there's great hope, and we got to see it firsthand, you know, in St. Louis. And of course there's other places that it's going to be visible, and that people are responding, and the seed of grace is being watered and growing. But we just happen to just be at this huge event, and we're excited and so grateful to God for what He's doing.
Amen. Because I think you're hitting the nail on the head, Thomas. With all the stuff happening in the world, stuff happening in the church, it's easy to get discouraged, and it's easy to kind of be myopic and just have the blinders on and look at what's happening right now. I took a couple videos during just the regular daily masses in the morning. I think the video of the procession alone of the 600 priests and 40 bishops.
20 minutes?
I think the video of like the start to them like getting up to the altar was like 6 minutes, which that's a freaking long time.
Okay, Cardinal Dolan's joke about that. He's like, the procession was longer than the Macy's Day Parade.
It's a quarter mile. It's hilarious. Right?
Yeah. No, but I don't know. There were multiple times where my eyes just kind of filled with tears, and the thought of like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, but at the end of the day, like, Jesus is alive. Mm-hmm. He has promised things to his church, and he is a man of his word. He's a God of his word. He's keeping his promise, and mm-hmm. and we're so freaking back. Like it was so apparent at the regular daily masses, and I was just overwhelmed, and I think that, yeah, Thomas, you're spot on there.
Yep, overwhelmed and encouraged, you know, and inspired. I'm inspired by these college students and by these parish workers and teachers and business professionals that are there taking time out of their life to come here and to worship and to learn and to grow. I freaking love it. I've been to everyone since 2004. I think you've been to everyone since 2019. Even in diapers, probably you were at some.
I was 9 when Focus was founded, mm-hmm. but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still in diapers. And Thomas has been to a lot too. So
he's in diapers now.
If you are listening
tempted
to this as a college student and did not make it to St. Louis, please join us in Salt Lake City.
Heck yeah.
If you are a Focus alumni and you're a listener, and it's been a while since you've been back, please come join us in Salt Lake City. And if you are a working professional, if you work in the church and you're listening, you've never been or you didn't come to St. Louis, please come join us in Salt Lake City. Half the people there were not college students, so this is no longer a college student conference. It's for everyone of all ages. There were kids there. My son was running around with all kinds of kids. He's 13, but he also goes to the talks and he loves it. So even kids have a great time.
There was a table. It was a pregnancy center, one of our sponsors, right? Mm-hmm. In the Mission Way area with all these sponsors that had containers of candy, and my daughter visited it to the point where she was very easily recognizable, and I had to tell her to stop going back and taking the candy. But Steve, one thing that not all our benefactors are older, but I think there is a beautiful thing in the fact that you do get to see some of these older people that have, and many of them have been just holding the line.
Oh yeah.
In their life, in their faithfulness, in their prayer. And so how cool is that? And for anyone out there, the younger guys that are listening, like, to take advantage of any opportunity you have to maybe thank some of these older people that you see in Mass on Sundays. Because, gosh, they've done so much. They've seen so much.
Yeah, they've through seen the 60s, through
the Vatican II, and all the rebellion with Humanae Vitae and stuff. And so, and they're there. And and rejoice in one another, because they take hope in seeing you, and we should take encouragement in seeing their resilience.
All right, so take a look for our live episode from Seek 24. That should be hitting pretty soon. That was live with Father Mike Schmitz. We had a great time. That was part 2 of How to Not Be a Couch Potato. Really great episode. I know we really enjoyed it. And check out Seek, seek.focus.org. Go register for Salt Lake City, $25 down. We'll see you there. That's it for today, guys. We'll catch you next time. God bless.